여보세요?
네 말이 맞아. 엄마 진짜 미친년이야. 나 집에 완전히 갇혔어.
아닌데요. 전화 잘못 거신 것 같은데.
'The Call', Chung Hung Lee. I'm sure that's mispronounced. Directed by, also written by her, movie. Actually, I should say film. This movie's great. I'm Shane Place here with Jess Jordan. We're over the phone right now.
Yeah, with the A-team today.
Yep.
A-team.
It's a bit eerie. What are you going to ask me? You have a question for me, apparently.
What is the most spooky thing you've had happen while using technology?
Oh. Can it be porn related? No, that's bad. I don't know. I think most spooky things in my life have been like environmental based, like looking outside or like shadows, and nothing really to do with technology. Maybe the
like
volume
what,
too loud. Actually, no, there is. Well, my friend, when I was like 12 or whatever, we're watching a scary movie and we're like trying to get the courage to turn it off. So we convince one of our friends, like, look, you turn TV off. So he like walks towards it. And as he goes to press the TV button off, the jump scare happened. And he was like, ah! This is Ethan. Ethan jumped back going, oh, my God. He was so scared. And we were all like, it was like scary and like we all laughed as well. We kept watching it. But that's like half the fun in scary movies too, is watching it with friends. Would you call this movie a scary movie?
I think it probably lends itself more to being a thriller.
Yes, with supernatural.
But like
thriller.
it's still got horror elements and scary elements to it, obviously. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, the first time I watched it, it was a horror because I was heaps scared. But knowing how it ends up and knowing she's all right, it's not as scary. So it was like more of a thriller as well. Like you enjoy it for what it is, like how smart it is, how they do two climaxes at the same time is so good in the parallels between the two of them. But Sorry, just go back to your first question. What's your experience with technology that scared you?
Like, I know it sounds so dumb, but, like, when I was younger and I used to play The Sims 3 and there was glitches in that would be really scary.
Well, when they started dancing and having sex and shit.
Like, okay, there was this like, glitch in particular that would happen where if you sat, like, two toddlers next to each other on the floor and they started to talk to each other, their heads would, like, cut in half and, like, their jaws would unhinge as they talked, and it was actually so fucking scary. And so when I was playing it as, like, an 11-year-old, that, like, shit actually made me turn the computer off.
Did you know about it?
Well, like, I did after I talked about it with my friends and stuff, and I was like, okay. Oh, my God, look at this weird glitch. So like- and then people were like, oh, that happens on mine. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not just being possessed. There was also a character, like, it was an NPC. Well, all players are characterful in The Sims, but anyway, it was a preset sim kind of thing called Cyclone Sword on this like world on The Sims, and it had a zero in the name, so it looked like it was like a user. And I was always convinced that someone had like hacked my game and was playing in my game, and it scared me. So that's not actually really like horror stuff, it's just me being like a delusional child, but terrifying
active imagination.
Oh, that and, like, the family computer always getting a virus in it every time I downloaded something off of LimeWire.
Mm. So, we're talking about.
Did you use LimeWire?
Yeah, I use LimeWire. I use all of it.
Yeah.
So it's really. Yeah, we shouldn't even talk about illegally downloading things. Let's talk about the movie now. So, Jordan, tell me your first experiences watching this movie and, like, your memory of it. It's not old. It's 2020. It came out, so.
Yeah, well, is this your second watch as well? Or what watch through is this? Okay.
This is my second watch.
So, first watch, really enjoyed the movie. Crazy good. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just something really different, isn't it? And I guess doing time travel movies, they can be, like, really messy and, like, a little bit risky sometimes because they kind of come off as, like, cliche as well.
Yeah, and but, all the paradoxes and stuff if you nitpick.
And they're always, like, riddled with, like,
plot holes.
Yes, yes. So, first time I watched it, I was actually really impressed because I thought they did it, like, pretty quite well. I thought it was, like, a well-executed time travel movie, which is not something you see all the time. And it's interesting to see that put into the horror genre as well.
Yeah.
But upon the second rewatch, less impressed.
What?
not because I think that the time travel thing is like bad again, or like the characters let it down, anything like that. The problem is, I think it goes too complex. I don't know. I think
what part is this complex? This is pretty simple. There's
too many layers with the altered timelines. Like, I feel like they could have left it at like three altered timelines rather than like five or six or whatever the fuck they did. And then the ending fucks it, which is something that.
Wow, which end? Which part?
The mid credits ending.
Yeah, don't. I think the movie doesn't have any plot holes if you end at the first credit sequence. Don't worry about the mid credits. It's fine. It breaks its own rules. Like, you can't. Once the past happens. In the 20-year lifeline, essentially, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, anything in between that 20 years, things can change, things can alter. But after that, if someone's died, you can't make a call again. Like, it's too late.
Yeah. I think that's something we can discuss more as we go through the plot of the movie.
Yeah. I was very
just
impressed.
Just for any listeners, just to flag it to them to be like, go watch the movie if you actually really care about spoilers. But yeah, give me your thoughts. Like, what's the sitch?
Just on spoilers as well. Like, this movie is best to go in cold, like all movies, but this one especially. Like, looking at the poster right now, the tagline, because it's like, I'm guessing the Netflix release, because it says Netflix on the poster. It says, a call from a serial killer, she'll begin to hunt your past. Like, that's given way too much. Like,
True.
It's better to know, to watch it where you think, because at the start of the movie, you feel very sympathetic towards young, what's her name? Young Sook?
Yeah, Young Sook, yeah.
Yeah, you're very sympathetic towards her and you're like, oh my God, can you help her out? So you're kind of like rooting for both the leads. But on the rewatch, you're kind of like, oh, like, fuck, don't help her, fucking stop.
Yeah.
So kind of like,
that bitch.
Yeah, you lose it. You lose the repeat viewing satisfaction you get. Because it's like the twisty stuff is so rewarding the first time you watch it. Second time, you're just trying to piece it together. Like, I don't know about you, but do you remember seeing the strawberries, the burn marks, like establishing all these things that change, like the first act? Remember all that?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That was enjoyable for me when I watched it the second time. I was like, oh, yeah, this is really cool.
And I guess you might notice like the more subtle things like,
yeah, exactly.
On the second rewatch as well, which is nice. It is nice to have like a second go of it. You also notice the things that are like, what the fuck? Like, why did you have to do that? kind of thing.
But no, in general, I did enjoy it. Like, I do love this movie. It's going to be like a repeat viewing every probably 5 years, I think.
Okay.
I think it's good to watch with someone else, though. Like, this is good to watch with someone who hasn't seen it before. Like, it got too intense for Crystal. She started to buy into it, and then when she starts killing people and it gets a bit messy, she's like, nah, done. She's like, such happy movies. And it was happy. Like, she loved it when the father was brought back to life. And she was like all giddy, like, oh, yeah, this is all right. And I kept telling her, like, don't
like
it
too much.
You were
like luring
her in. Well, no, I was trying to like temper her expectation. Like, just don't like her too much because, and then she ended up like, as soon as she started showing like evil tendencies, she's like, nah. I gave her too much warning, I think. I should have let her like experience it the whole time. But no, I love the framing device of like two timelines at the same time. I don't know about you. Did you watch this subtitled or did you watch it dubbed?
I watched it dubbed, which I didn't think was too bad. I don't know if you watched the subtitles and if that made a difference, like made it
does.
More
it does.
Raw, really.
No, well, I feel sorry for you. I initially was watching the dub because I've seen it before and I was like, okay, I can like take notes and not focus on the right on the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, for the first like 15 minutes, like, oh yeah, this is pretty good actually. It's like, this is actually a good dub. Like, Netflix bought the movie. They probably knew what they had, like how good it was. And so they invested in like a pretty good dub. Like, this is, as far as dubs go, this is pretty great. But then I like, as soon as like, I'll just check out the subtitled version and you get so much more from the performance with the like actual people. Like, you'd be surprised.
I did wonder, yeah, like in the scenes where there's like lots of hysterics.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I wonder how this is translating right now because I bet like it's probably way more.
Well, it's hard to
impassioned.
Do in a VO booth as well when you're not the person. Like, there's so many layers where it's hard to like reach intensity.
Yeah, raise yourself up that much when you're not
exactly.
Kind of acting it out. Yeah.
Like, even if it was like recorded in post, like sometimes they do that, like they record over there like just to fix it up, or if they didn't have like sound mics or whatever, sometimes they just VO everything.
Okay.
It's also, yeah, sometimes they don't. I'm not saying that there could have been the case in this or could not have been, but they can also, if they see themselves, they see what emotional state they're in, it's a lot easier to get to that place again. If you're trying to dub right. someone else's performance, like it's hard to get that mental space. And it's just, you're never the same person anyway. That's why at least with Jackie Chan movies and his dubs, he dubs himself. And it's like,
oh, that's so sad. Of course he would.
Yeah, I know, but it's also hard for him. But it's easy to do it in the VO booth and like getting someone to read, like feed you lines and you just repeat it in your voice essentially. Yeah. But no, other than that though, that was I'm glad you did watch it in dub, so this way you can have a bit of a comparison. And if you notice too, like the dub didn't like suit the subtitles as well. Some words and here and there were changed.
Oh, really? Oh, well, Quinton actually pointed out a really good thing. Like you, when you first, we did have subtitles on too. What the fuck? Yeah. Anyways, as we were watching, like when she first gets the call on the old like phone from Young Sook, the subtitles literally say it's Young Sook calling. So you kind of like, you don't get that like, I guess illusion. Like it says like in brackets Young Sook and then the like what she says because yeah, she's exactly. on the phone.
It's just a character talking.
Yeah, so you're a bit like it's kind of subtitles half spoil it for you, I guess, at the start. Because you think it's like the guys that have stolen her phone that are calling back.
All right. So Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this movie's underrated, overrated, or properly rated?
I think it's underrated because like that's I was good. Reading good the answer. I was reading the, what do you call it, the Wikipedia before, and I noticed that, like, it was going to have a widespread theatrical release, but then because of COVID, it only got launched on Netflix, which, like, that's such a killer, I think. Like, I don't know, it is a good movie, but then you're only getting Netflix viewers watching it, and then also, like, so many people just stay within their recommended when it comes to watching shit on Netflix. You know what I mean? So,
but at least it's bearable. Like people, you know, that little 1-inch hurdle that Bong Joon-ho fucking said, director of Parasite. Like some people just can't get over that. So at least the dub, at least if people do click on it, they might actually see it through. I think after the first act, you'd be hooked though.
Yeah, it does. It does really in very quickly. It starts off really strong. It just would be interesting to see. I wonder like how much it grossed. Well, because, I mean, how does that work? Like, do they
Well, it would have got a release in Korea. Korea would have had a release. But the thing is, probably some screening somewhere and some Netflix guy was, oh, shit, let's buy this and let's, like, release it. Like, it's a lot cheaper. I actually can't find information about the budget and everything else, so.
Well, I wonder how they work that out. If it only has a Netflix launch, then how do they figure out what it grosses overall? I guess you just can't.
I'm not sure if we did some more research. It would have made money in Korea, surely. I'm sure they would have, like, the director, Chung Hung Lee. I think it's a female as well. Is she a female?
I don't know. I was trying to look at that when you mentioned that before. I'm not actually sure.
I remember reading it a while ago. I'm pretty sure it's a female director. Let's just say
it's made his debut with a feature film.
We'll delete
on Netflix,
that.
The call.
Yeah, so this
right.
This,
we all make mistakes.
This male director. I wonder if he got. He would have got the screen. I'm sure of it. So Jordan,
mm-hmm.
like knowing the result and blah blah blah, would you have played out the movie the same way if that was you? Would you have answered the call and helped her out and blah blah blah? Is it worth?
Fuck no.
Is the squeeze worth the juice?
No, because. If it was my dad, I don't know, actually. You see so many movies that are like, this is what happens when you fuck with time. You know what I mean? Like,
this is probably the worst scenario.
Well, have you seen that movie, About Time? Like, it's called About Time.
The female one?
No, it's got a...
Like a rom-com, right?
It's a rom-com and it's got Regina from Mean Girls in it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but is it like that? Is it? The guy can time travel or some shit.
Well, there's like a scene, right? So his wife has just had a brand new baby. That's and cool. Anyway, he's like hanging out with the baby. It's fun. Like, oh no, that baby's a bit more grown up. But anyway, he goes back and does something in the past, and then comes back to like the present and walks into the house, and his kid is a different kid. Like, as in, it's still his son, like child, but he just had a daughter and it turned into a son.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What the fuck?" And so he had to end up like he had to go back twice and change
what?
Back.
That's
before
pretty
he traveled. Yeah. But damn. And then like it was, but it's pretty disastrous, and it shows, you know, just like one tiny minute change, like it's the butterfly effect, you know.
Yeah,
one minute change can lead to so much. So
that's what I didn't like about Back to the Future as well. Like
what, they just like mess around and nothing changes.
Well, yeah, he creates, he's a wealthy family, right? So at the start of the Back to the Future, he's got a, like they're like middle to low income household, and afterwards they're like, Biff is their like manservant essentially. All it is like Crispin Glover. I can't remember the character's name. I should remember though. I love that movie. All he is more confident and like more like taking charge. That means they could have sex at different times. Like they could have been like vacation somewhere else. Different moments of conceiving. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be exactly
yes.
The same.
So and so it would have fucked it up.
Yeah, he would never existed anyway. But all his siblings are the same, and him. They couldn't even have kids, man. Like, they're that successful. Like, it doesn't matter.
no, but it's so true. It goes so deep. You could go on for ages about it.
Well, on that note, how I said if the squeeze is worth the juice, I think it is, because in the first timeline we see, the father's still dead, so that's a wash, but the mother is in hospital. At least in this, the current future, she's looks healthy, and they've got a really good relationship.
But see, what changed that? What stopped her from getting cancer?
I just think maybe they're more wealthy. Well, you think about it, it's a butterfly effect again. Like, she always blamed her mother. And, like, also, the mother wasn't even willing to fight for her life, remember? She was pretty self-accepting her fate.
Like, she kind of. Yeah, and that was such a big twist as well, realizing that the little girl was responsible for the fire.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's kind of like a bit extra, but I appreciated it. Because I forgot that part on rewatch. I was like, oh, shit, she did it. And, like, of course, young Sook is just rubbing it in. She is so fucking evil. I love it. But, no, but, like, it just shows you, like, if you're dying or whatever and you don't have the will to live, like, how much worse you actually be. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't really care about your health, you won't be healthy. So, obviously, this version of the mother wants to be healthy, looking after the child, but blah, blah, blah. Like, it's anyway, it's a way better future regardless. So, I think it's worth it. It just sucks the father couldn't live, because that scene in the car was pretty dramatic, but we'll get to that in our plot breakdown. Also wrote here, before we get to our movie smoothie, I wrote down this is like a fucked up version of Wizard of Oz, the journey part and like having life better when you get back.
Oh, and she comes back and she's like more thankful for everything.
She's more thankful, exactly. And so was the mother as well, so it's like a win-win. All right, so have you ever heard of the movie Time Crimes?
Time Crimes. I think, didn't you guys watch that? Did
yes,
you guys
do
an episode?
Yeah, we did an episode on it. Yes.
Yeah, but I didn't watch it.
It's a time travel movie, but the rules are different. Time crime rules are one loop. And it's like, no matter what you do, like you think you're changing it, but it's predetermined. Like the things you think you're changing has always happened, which I love. Yeah, yeah. So you think, oh shit, like I saw this happen, so I'm going to do this to counteract that. But it's what you did here is why that result's there. And, like, you can't change a goddamn thing. And you think you're, like, helping, but you're actually, like, just pushing the boulder up the hill. Like, nothing's going to change. Like, it's already happened. And, like, yeah, it's just interesting. Like, the way it affects one part or the other. It's just, you have to watch it. It's really good. It's a really neat movie. And this one's a bit different. This one's the timeline's ever changing, which I like too, because you have to buy into the fact, just like real life, the future is always in the air. Like anything can happen. Like your future's not set. And that's a good way to look at it. I think that's what annoyed me originally, but watching it this time, I'm like, I couldn't poke holes into the stories. Every time you think you have a plot hole, let me know and I'll fill it up with the Shane Dirt and we'll
with the Shane Dirt.
Be a smooth movie watching experience.
Okay.
All right, so who wants to do the movie smoothie? Do you want to redeem yourself? Jordan, did you think of something smart?
Well, you won't bully me one-on-one, bro, because you're gonna feel
that's
bad.
That's true. I need at least someone backing me up.
I'm not simply gonna read the fucking plot of the
You can book. Though, because it could be better than what you like.
It's long. Yeah. I'm looking at it. I brought it up on Wikipedia in like preemptively, and it's so long. All right, I got one.
All right, you got something? All right, so let's do the movie smoothie. Let's actually make some fire extinguishers, strawberries, and a fridge into a plastic bag, and let's see how we can make a smoothie.
Damn!
So this
into a plastic bag, very relevant.
That's right. So we've got time travel, phone calls, a lot of blood injury, broken glass, psychopaths, witch doctors, eeriness, horror. All right, that's enough anyway. Obviously,
that's pretty good. You've touched on a lot of things.
All right, so let's do the movie smoothie. Do you want to add anything to the ingredients or not?
You summarize it pretty good. Just heaps of like dumb cops, I guess.
Yes, yeah, the classic cliche for a Korean movie.
That the cops don't do shit.
Yeah.
They must have like a real gripe with like their judicial system over there. Because like they do. I feel like it's been a prominent part of every Korean movie I've seen thus far.
It just makes it easy for them. It's just like, yep.
Like our cops suck? Great.
We'll get the public on our side just doing this. All right, so let's hear our movie smoothie, please. Hopefully it's not copyrighted.
Nah. Surely not. So the story revolves around, I don't know how to say her name. Se-yeon, who takes a trip to the countryside to visit her sick mother. So basically on her way to the countryside, she loses her phone and she ends up digging an old phone out of her mum's basement to, I guess, call her old phone and try and find it. So in doing this, she somehow spiritually connects via phone call with the previous owner of the house's daughter,
Young Suk.
So the two girls end up striking up a friendship over the phone in this cosmic time lapse split, whatever, and it all goes well, but they realize they can use their time difference for good. So, and she decides that she's going to go and stop Soyeon's dad from passing away and changes, I guess, the fabric of time after that. So that's all good. So Yeon gets her dad back. Everyone's happy. It's really quite wholesome. But Young Suk cracks the shits because now her friend's not calling her on the phone all the time and giving her cool new music from the future. So she decides to undo the things that she fixed in her timeline, and she instead decides to go and she ends up going and killing So Yeon's dad again, which is fucked up. And she also kills the local strawberry dealer, who's their best friend. So in this, like, now that her her dad's been pulled away from her, Soyeon decides to, like, launch, like, an attack back and tries to have Young Suk killed by sending her to a greenhouse where there's, like, a huge gas explosion. But it doesn't work, and it just pisses off Young Suk more. And so there's, like, a battle between timelines of Soyeon does something that Young Suk doesn't like. She tries to kill another member of her family and tries to kill a younger version of herself. It's pretty crazy. It gets pretty deep. There's lots of overlaps in time. But basically, the movie ends with Young Suk being valiantly killed by Soyeon's mum when she's a child. And Soyeon ends up living to see her future, quote unquote.
Would you say that's slay, Jordan?
Well, it's slay that she lives, but then I'm not even gonna, like, I don't even want to include the end, like, the actual ending in my fucking movie smoothie because it's fucking dumb and
We all can agree the post credit scene doesn't exist.
Okay, thank you.
I think everyone should just turn it off after that.
That is my
I think threat. It's just the director trying to tease some fun. That's all it is. So
I will tell the audience so they know, like, the listeners. So it should end with basically
the graveyard, right?
Yeah. It ends with Soyeon, like, surviving, and she gets her mum back. Like, her mum, like, survives killing off Young Suk, and they're happy and it's beautiful. But then in the post-credit scene, Young Suk's younger self is phoning her on the magical phone once again and warning her about when she's going to be killed by Soyeon's mum and when the police are going to find her. And so she ends up living to the day that kidnaps Soyeon and tortures her for the rest of her life. When it ends on a nice high note, it's good. And then you watch, like, into the credits and it ruins everything and it's shit.
Great movie smoothie. I'm going to give you that. Like, it's better than, I think anything's better than your last one. And I think you're right. I can't really pick on you by myself.
This is also a hard movie to summarize, by the way, because how many times can I be like, yes, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened in the timeline.
All right, so let's get into the movie now. The movie opens up with our girl, Se-yeon. I'll just call her the protagonist. She's beautiful. Good, quick question for you. Who is the hottest chick in the movie?
Bro. You do this every time.
I know, but it's just me and you now, so it's we can actually be honest. Really? Especially I don't know.
When she gets the long hair, oh my God, game changer.
She's more, yeah, she's more traditionally beautiful. I really think Young Sook is hotter.
But bro, like Young Sook gives me like the other mother vibes from Coraline because like yeah. she's lanky and like she's got like in some shots she has like really bad posture and I'm like, dude.
She looks dangerous.
Yes.
That's the best thing about her. And that's good acting though.
Oh, and good like, casting to a degree because I'm like, I'm sure like acting can only get you so far. Like she does look like a viper.
Oh, this is another good question for you. Out of the mothers, Young Sook's mother and Si Young's mother, who's hotter?
Fuck. I feel like Young Sook's mum could be a baddie, even though she looks weird. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, she's... yeah,
she's done up to look evil. I think she could be a baddie. Yeah,
exactly. And that's a good choice too. You're just like, fuck this mum. No, not good choice. I'm talking about the good choice for her to look weird.
Oh, whatever,
bro. For the audience benefit. But I reckon the other mother's hotter. So we've got the opposites, which is cool. Like, that's what you want for a podcast. You want different
takes. You want to have some debate over who's hotter.
Anyway, so you get the lead actress running down. She's picked up by the Strawberry Man. They're like friends in this timeline. She gets dropped home and she hasn't been there for a while and she left her phone on the train. And so she plugs in the landline and she calls her phone. And of course, the people are like fucking low lives and they want like to ransom the phone. Like, ooh, it's a Galaxy Note 9. Like,
literally the audacity.
How much you give it to us? The audacity, I know. It's very cruel. But the Strawberry guy likes her and you're in the best house in the village and it looks like shit. Like, it doesn't look like shit. It looks actually quite nice, but only in comparison. Only
it just
in
needs
hindsight.
Some love.
Yeah, but when you see it on a different timeline, holy shit, this house is nice. Like, that's the potential. Yeah, you find out about her life, like her mother's got a tumor and they can't do surgery in that hospital, which is probably why she's alive in the like latest timeline, maybe because they can afford the surgery or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Oh, that's such a good point. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You go through the plot and you can kind of like read your notes and like, oh, shit, and connect the dots. That's why I love breaking down movies this way.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
But yeah, so the mother's accepted her fate. But the girl's like, you gotta paint your nails? Like the daughter's like upset, like you're not, you know, you don't even care about your life. And it's kind of like in a selfish way too. Well, I don't know, it's weird. The more you know about this character, knowing like she's like, if she like a pathological liar, like obviously she's hiding information. Like she's probably blocked it out that she killed her father, technically, turning the stove back on. It's just weird. I like it. It's fickle. It's really good.
I did notice, like, in one of the phone calls where they're being bitchy with each other, she's like, oh, I'm a pathological liar. Don't you know something about that? And So did she actually kill her dad and she knows that she killed her dad?
I think, she's just blocking it out. It's accidental and it's just like, ooh, you're trying to blame someone.
I don't know,
it's
bro.
Just like...
That's crazy, though. That's fucked. Yeah, it's like a whole new perspective.
It's deep.
I really don't
it's
fucking
deep.
Think hard enough when I watch these movies. Like, I think I'm too busy taking notes.
I do like how much these two have in common as well. Like, it's very evident at the start because they have to connect somehow and, like, help each other out. But obviously one's, like, pure evil and one's at least seemingly – well, she's not, not evil. She's just, like, going through some shit. It's like everyone is at some point.
She's got problems.
I like the plot device, though, because she's, like, waiting for her phone to call back so she can, like, organize getting a Galaxy Note 9 back. So she's always by the phone, like, close to the phone.
Yeah.
So when she gets the phone call comes on, she answers, and then it's Young Sook, and she's complaining about her mother, complaining about her life. You kind of get like hints of what's going to happen.
So if you got a phone randomly and you realize that this phone fucking connected you via
the devil.
To a different time period, would you like react a bit more viscerally than what fucking Soyoung did? Because I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this chick? She's just like, oh my God, you're from a different time. How cool is that? Here's my favorite artist in the future. And you can record the songs onto your Walkman. That's like all they do. She doesn't go, this is so crazy. Like, what the heck? When the young version of herself is walking through their house, nothing. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's true.
Like, real crazy reaction to that. Other than hearing her dad, which is obviously cray cray. But would you react like that? Like, genuinely, do you think you would react like that?
It would be very strange. And there'd be like a lot of disbelief in the back of your mind. Like, this ain't happening. This isn't happening to
I'm
me.
I'm going crazy.
Like, Young Sook, I don't blame her, but like, Soyoung, she's the one that she'd be having more fun time with. But it doesn't really affect her, though. Oh, actually, it does after. It's weird. It's really cool. Like, one has the information and one has the power.
But it's such a good balance. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's a really good balance, and that's why it works so well, especially again when you, like, I don't know about you, but how frustrated did you feel when she has, like, her young baby self in a chair and, like it starts burning her. It's just like you feel just as hopeless. It's it's insane.
Oh, fuck. And when she's just, like,
you feel like you're
around,
tied to the chair.
So cool.
Yeah. It's crazy. And just like her skin is cooked as fucked. the problem is curiosity kills the cat in this. She kind of like connects the dots like, okay, it's coming from the same house sort of thing. Like she kind of like hears hints about Young Sook, what she's saying. You get revealed there's like a burn mark on her leg. It's kind of like obvious, like the director's showing you something. So yeah, she's like hanging up a photo or something. So she's hitting nails into the wall. And when I first watched this movie, because, like, this is when I was a pussy too. So, like, all right, now I'm, like, I'm probably, like, medium to horror movies. Like, I don't want to go too intense, but I can – it's like when you're, like – okay, think about it like this. When you like, spicy food.
Yeah.
When I first watched this movie, I couldn't handle any spice. I was like, fuck. So, I was tripping balls.
This is crazy. Yeah.
So, this is, like – this scared the fuck out of me when she finds this hidden room, hidden steps. I thought something was going to fucking jump out and get her.
Bro, and she just went down there, like fucking no holds barred. She was just like, yeah, I'll go in the fucking scary holes, hidden room.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Right. No one would do that, bro. I would.
But now, like, now I appreciate a bit of spice and I like to have some, but I would never order extra hot or like something that's deliberately hot. I wouldn't order that, but I can handle like something that, like a good dish that's spicy. That's what I'm like.
Something that you can still exactly eat and enjoy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anyway, so she like hammers a nail in, you hear bouncing, and she's curious again. That's one flaw for this character. She's very curious. She puts another nail in, same thing. I like what the director does here. You like, it goes black and you see a hammerhead bust through the screen, essentially. It's through the wall.
Yeah, it's nice.
The 4:4.
It's nice.
Great way to keep you engaged throughout. Like, they do these like good filmmaking techniques. And then, yeah, scary basement scene. but it's also a way to keep the audience engaged, like I just said. She finds a diary and the date logs 1999. And, oh, shit. And so she's like, okay, this makes sense. She goes through it. You see like this shitty, like 99 fashion. It's all men. Like, so Jordan, was this an accurate diary for a 28-year-old girl?
No, that's what I'm so fucked up. Like when they were both like, I'm 28. I was like, fuck off. You are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. She looked 18, eh?
Both
she should have been 18.
Be making like poorer decisions. Like it needs to, it would make sense if they're making poor decisions at that age.
That's true.
What do you mean? It would make sense if they're making poor decisions at 22. No,
28's crucial. 28's crucial because you need the young girl to be alive at the same time she's alive.
Okay.
But there's no reason why, but there's no reason why she couldn't be 18 though, Young Sook. There's no reason why she couldn't be 18. But she should have been like 17 and like gone.
Oh, word, yeah, and would have been like way more destructive. And they could have had, like, a cool thing about them, like, being, like, it's almost like she's, like, an older sister, but she's not. That would have been so cool.
See?
You're so right.
Like, in the American version, would have been pretty cool.
Do you reckon that's
Did I mention that, too, before? Did I say, like, yeah, so on that note, you think if this movie was, like, Americanized, I wouldn't say Americanized, let's just say it was made in America, exact same quality, English speak and blah, blah, blah. Do you reckon this movie would be, like, Fight Club level or, like, top 250? What do you mean? Oh, I think there's potential there. Like, I think a lot of people will vote for it.
I don't know, bro, because, like, horror is constantly, like, shit on, isn't it? Like, there's so many fantastic roles that come out of horror that aren't acknowledged in the same way that, like, normal, any other genre of movie is acknowledged. Like, literally, we talked about it with Pearl. Like, Mia Goth's performance of Pearl, especially that monologue bit of that movie, is just stellar. Like, it is literally a great example of... A+, like gold star
acting,
but doesn't
somehow she's even hotter. By the way, she's hot as hell now.
What do you mean?
Well, she's reprised her role as Maxine.
Oh, bro, I'm so excited!
I saw the trailer of it, and she's like all dolled up. We have to watch X. Have you watched X yet?
Yes, I have, but I want to watch it for the pod. Like,
yeah, we'll pick it soon.
Thank you.
Well, X, Roman numeral, maybe 110 episodes. We're almost up 100 too. This would be episode 95.
Holy fuck.
So five more episodes and we're doing audition. which is why the podcast was created, that movie. I'll explain to you on that episode. But yeah, it's getting exciting. No, the movie called Audition. You haven't seen it. It's Japanese, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It's so
fucking good. I think I've seen, like, I've seen it featured on my feed. Like, I've seen, like, screen caps of it before. So
you would have seen the poster.
Okay.
The poster's iconic. It's like this girl with, like, a leather apron with a syringe. Fucking, she looks, she's a baddie.
Okay.
But yeah, look forward to that. What point were we on to then just then? Oh, Americanized. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Mia Goff. Yeah, Mia Goff. She's amazing. She's hot. Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I don't feel like it wouldn't get the same credit because just for some reason people don't digest. Oh, yeah,
imagine Mia Goth as young Sook in like that would be a great casting because she can play sympathetic. Like imagine her taking the phone call.
And, like, yes. Who's this? Okay.
That's great casting.
It would be pretty cool.
And trying to think of the opposite. Maybe even I know we.
If you're gonna say Sydney Sweeney, I swear to God.
Yeah, actually, I said this today to Tony too. I was like, Sydney Sweeney is a hotter version of Mia Goff. Like, just like the bimbo version of Mia Goff.
Oh, bro. No, Sydney though. Sweeney's not a bimbo. She's very smart. She like, genuinely, she is very smart.
You actually like her?
Yes, I love her.
Krista doesn't like her.
Sydney Sweeney. She's very, she doesn't like her. Like,
my wife does not like this hot girl I always talk about.
What? Oh, yeah, that's so crazy. But, like, does she have something, like, critical, like, constructive? Do you know what I mean? Like,
she just thinks she's like, hold up, give me 1 second. I'm going to get Crystal to guest star. Give me 1 sec. I'll get her. All right, so I've got a special guest, Crystal, my wife. Crystal, why don't you like Sydney Sweeney? What's wrong with her? No, just say it to the mic. Hurry up. It's fine.
She reminds me of the Drago girls I went to high school with.
Oh, fuck.
God damn, she's running away. It's so funny. People get so nervous around a microphone. Like, I was the exact same, though, when I first started. But I don't know. I think you were pretty good, Jordan, your first experience with the mic. Yeah, bro,
because I'm just a fucking show pony, for real.
Yeah, my God. The first time we ever recorded, it was so fucking funny. Like, you just have these nerves, and you think you're going to be fine, and it's just like, I can't even listen. I actually had a dream the other night where I, like, released one of my first episodes, and I was, like, so cringe.
Like, fucking, like, you were being strapped to a chair, like, by this person that you called from the past and they were playing the podcast to you over and over as the torture.
Yeah, yeah. So, for real, you heard Crystal, heard it first, you got bimbo energy. You don't like that, Jordan?
No, I love that because, no, she's, well, for one thing, she's not a bimbo. She actually weighs in on, like, very important political issues. Like, she was talking about how she thinks that tax people should be rich. Like, sorry, rich people
should be rich.
She's,
yeah, I agree.
She's saying that rich people should be taxed more and that they shouldn't be intimidated if they feel like they're going to get taxed more because they need to assess their skill issue. Like, that's so fucking true. Everyone else that works hard, gets taxed, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're literally a billionaire, you will survive being taxed. You're wealth hoarding. And, yeah, Sydney Sweeney weighed in on that, and she's like, I'm not scared by that. Like, if I have to pay more tax, that's the way it rolls. Like, I've been working, like, lower-level jobs,
too. Not to get too political, but at the moment, just to go real quick for anyone listening out of Australia, a bit of a housing crisis in Australia.
Yeah.
People are starting to squat. I just want to hear, since we're talking about houses and, like,
did you see the Jordan, like, purple pingers guy?
Jordan, I just want to know what your opinion is on how squatting or whatever.
Everyone should be doing it. If you need to do it, you should do it. Genuinely. Right,
that's
you
enough.
Tell them, like, but like this, you know, squatting laws are so hard to get around. Like, you have to be there for something like 30 years before you can, like,
exactly,
claim
but people
it as
just
your own.
Pin it to the man. All right, doesn't matter. Let's not get back to the movie. I don't.
Fine.
Like, it's
maybe
good.
Some
it's
people
fun,
do.
But too bad. We're talking about the movie now.
Can I tell you one fuck thing, though, that I learned the other day? It's not really political, but it's one fuck thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, when South Australia had capital punishment, we had, like, one executioner at our main jail, and then he died. And so they decided to make it, like, a jury duty thing. So they pulled your name out of, like, the electoral roll, and you became the, like, executioner. You had to go to the jail and sit in a separate room and pull a lever to hang someone.
That's crazy.
How fucked is that?
That's crazy.
Yeah, anyway.
That's weird, eh?
I don't know
why they did
that.
Yeah, if anything, there has to be three levers and three people so no one would know actually who pulled the lever. That's the way it should be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they did put you in a separate room so you didn't have to see it so that you didn't feel so
bad. I know,
but
like,
you
I feel like
know.
That's actually, that was a law somewhere though, I'm pretty sure. Like, there had to be, there couldn't be concrete evidence that you actually did the killing.
That's
like your
crazy.
Hands are not bloody. Just for the people who actually pulled the lever so there's no like traumatic issues
God
as
will
such.
See it.
Some people. Well, God would know, but like, I'm just saying for the people it might have ongoing effects. Oh my God, I'm responsible for this man's death. But not really, because he probably deserved it. Anyway, let's get back to the movie. Who deserves to be fucked up is the Young Sook.
For real.
Yeah.
I love her name, Young Sook. Like, I want to be a fucking Sook.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a fucking... Actually, the other way around. So Young is the Sook. So she gets a photo of her from the diary. And she's like, oh, my God. So she starts investigating this picture. She has another phone call. It's the mother. No, sorry. It's Young Sook again. And she's like, my mother's trying to set me on fire. Like, she's freaking out. And, like, this is what I kind of like. I hated the first time I watched it. Like, the steps start to go on fire. Like, things are starting to affect the house. And I kind of didn't like that. I was just like, what the hell? Like, maybe the phone call, and maybe that's what happened. Maybe the phone call at the time affected maybe the flames weren't there before that phone call, right?
I did kind of wonder as well if that was just a device so that, you know, it wasn't so crazy that they were talking on the phone. Like, that's why she didn't react so crazy.
Well, it's also trying to get the, in 1999, the mother's doing some ritual to try to, like, cure this girl from being a psychopath. Like, she's doing, like, almost holistic means to, like, cure someone who needs, like, medical attention. Like, you know,
but she's
like,
trying to beat it out of her and, like...
Yeah, she's trying to beat it out of her, burn it out of her, voodoo out of her. Exactly. So she's trying to set fire to her or probably burn some demon. Like, you think it's a lot worse too, but she's just doing some ritual shit. But it's also, it is abuse. Like, there's a point where... So many questions are arising right now. Just like the flames. But, yeah, so it makes sense. So the house... With the phone calls, the future is up for change, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this is the first time they've actually had this conversation. And, like, maybe she's running towards a different part of the house because she's on the phone now. It's talking to someone. And that's why the flames are lit up and, like, it makes burn marks into the steps because she never ran to that side of the house originally, not like 20 years ago. Like, maybe that makes sense why flames appeared in front of her. But I just think it's also, like, a visually interesting thing that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so she works out they're 20 years apart. She tells Young Sook, she's like, ooh. It's like, first she doesn't believe it, and she's like, she always has this devious smile too, though. Like, she's always looking for narcissistic as well. So she always, like, thinks about herself first. You know what I mean? We get to, like, more of an inside of Young Sook's life. Like, they're at the dinner table. She has, like, all these different plates, food separated. I find that very weird, but maybe it's part of the ritual thing again.
Bro, I think that's how Korean people eat.
Really?
Yeah, they have all just one do, big like, plate,
like,
different things.
Like pigs.
No. Pigs. Oh, no, not like when she's cramming it into her mouth. Like, they have, like, a little spread. It's very cute.
You know what's weird?
What?
I feel like, you know, some people don't like when food touches and shit like that. I feel like originally when you're a kid, it does matter. And, like, some people just don't grow out of that. But now, I mean, I don't give a fuck if my food touches.
There's a sensory, it can be a sensory thing for people, genuinely.
You reckon?
Yeah. No,
I think, like, you just have to get over it.
A lot of my clients do that. Like, they don't want their food touching.
Yeah, I think it's primal, right? Like, they don't want to, like, mix it up. But I feel like there's one thing I used to do. I used to hate when ice melted in Coke. Like, oh, fuck, that tastes like shit. But now, it's like, it's only water. Like, it's good. Like, it's probably a good thing. So that's pretty weird. Anyway, let's just
talk
back to the
movie. I'm glad you've reached that conclusion, Shane. That's awesome.
Anyway, so a good scene, like, you see the differences between Young Sook and the stepmother or mother. I think it's a stepmother. But just with the posture, like, one's sitting up tight, like, looking at her, like, looks well presented. The other one's got hair in her face, crouched over, eating eating to piss her off. That's another thing too. Like, you think she's like, I don't. This is one of the hints that she could be, something could be wrong with Young Sook. But you might think she's being defiant the first time you watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it is weird how the movie kind of it's not weird, it's purposeful. The movie kind of lulls you into being like, fuck, I hate Young Sook's mom. Like, she's such a bitch. And then it literally becomes apparent that actually Young Sook's mom saved a lot of shit happening in that timeline. And maybe she actually was mystical.
Do you think Young Sook's mum, do you think she kind of created a monster at the same time trying to, like, cure a monster? Do you know what
probably.
I mean? Do you think, like, she made it worse?
Fuck yeah. But then also, like, what led up to her being like, I'm going to lock you in a room all day and, you know.
Exactly.
Like,
so she's probably, like, maybe
still, like,
killing.
Not a positive reaction, but, like, I wonder.
Hold up, though. She was reading the tea leaves or whatever. She's like, there's a lot of death in your future. That's what the whole reason why she killed her. Which is, like, insane. Like, for another thing, like, having the mother, like, she's right, which is what kind of justifies her. But like, she killed her just because she read the tea leaves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really, you'd let her be guilty of something first, but you can't really argue with her, but she had problems. Like, Young Sook is evil.
Yeah.
Just because we have evidence now. Anyway, this is like the happy portion of the movie. They like start sharing music, and like she tells about, oh, your phone, you can shop on it, you can talk on it, you can, you know, download things, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's, and Young Sook doesn't believe it. And you're really on Young Sook's side here. Like, you kind of like love her. Like, she's a great actress. Like, she's got like star energy, just like Sun Yong, the actress. Like, they're both great leads. They both hold the screen well, both beautiful, both good actors as well.
Yeah.
They find like commonality. That's the word, commonality. They share parents being dead, like her father's dead, both her parents are dead. And she talks about the fire that killed her father. And then this is when So Young maybe thinks like she could maybe do something.
The one good thing that she manages to do.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of the good parts about the movie anyway. In 1999, you see Young, an 8-year-old version of herself with her parents, go to the house to go buy it, right? And Young Sook's there, and she kind of recognizes, oh, wait. Anyway, so she overhears her father talking. It's quite a good, like, quite a sweet moment. She starts crying.
It is. And that's like, it's, this is such a nice, like, uplifting part of the movie. It really does kind of lull you into being like, oh my God, that's so lovely. Like, obviously, you know where it's going, but you kind of wonder where it's going as well at this stage. But, yeah, like, basically, she shows, let's So Young listen to her dad walking through the house and still being alive. And that's like a pretty crazy point, because you realize that they share the same timeline. Like, you didn't realize that the timeline kind of overlaps until this moment. Like, obviously you knew they lived in the same house, but it's kind of hard to distinguish like whether that's an alternate universe or something like that. But no, they literally, they have an overlap. When Young Sook is like 28, So Young is like 7, 6 or 7, just before her dad dies. 8.
Yeah, so, just say 8 because make it clean.
Yeah.
So what's interesting though too about this scene, Young Sook says, I have a fun idea. Like, so she thinks it's fun, like saving someone's life. Like, I guess it's fun in a sense, but the way she views it, like, oh, I got a good idea. Yeah, like, I got like, I got an idea.
Yeah. Like, why don't I try to save your dad's life? It's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
It's just like her experimenting. Yeah, like, it's just like a game to her.
She can fuck with the future, more or less.
Exactly. That's right. And I just love that line. Like, I've got a fun idea. It's not like, and the way she says it too, like, she is such a good actress. Like, this is another thing too. There's a movie, he hates the director too, Al Pacino. Al Pacino, Willem Friedkin, right? They did a movie called Cruisin'.
Cruisin', yeah.
And, yeah. And so, in the editing room, Willem Friedkin sort of changed the ending, right? So it makes it ambiguous that Al Pacino could be the killer. But Al Pacino didn't know this. And when he saw the movie, he was like, holy shit, like, what the fuck? Like, I could be, like, I would have played the role so differently. I would have done these things, blah, 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 blah. I would have done so many different things, like, just to improve the performance and improve the ending in his mind. Could be like, you know, give hints, blah, blah, blah. And that's what Young Sook's doing throughout this movie.
Right.
She's like dropping like little cues about how evil she could, like how evil she is, and how like devious and like self-centered and crazy. It's cool, like, cause you see the evolution, like after she has her first kill, like you see how fucking bad she actually is. It's a great transition. But she obviously has the information. You know, the actress knows what's going on in her arc.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. So she's doing a great job, unlike Al Pacino, which Al Pacino does a really good job in that movie. It's just, we have to just cover Cruisin' as well soon, because so much interesting facts about that movie. Anyway, so she's on the thing about bringing her dad back to life. So we're kicking off the father rescue scene. The suspense is up. Like, the score is at 11. She has to sneak out of the house because you think she's like suppressed there. Like, she has like under the thumb. So it's a really good scene because you know this is her only chance to save the dad.
Yeah.
So you see, like, the mother leave. Oh, sorry. Is the mother? Yeah, you see the mother. Is the mother? No. Who leaves?
The mother leaves, yeah. The mother leaves, yeah, so and the mother leaves a spare key underneath the pot plant.
That's right. And yeah. Young Sook takes her straight away. And then you think it's all good. She saves the day. Is this the part where we see the first transition? Is this when the room breaks around and then rebuilds itself?
Her actual smartphone starts to ring.
Ah, that's right.
She knows that, like, it's been a success almost kind of thing. And the world, yeah, her room starts to rip apart.
And on my original watch, I didn't like this. I was like, oh, no, it should have just been like already happened. The way you should view the movie is it's everything's happened at the same time, right? Like this 20-year gap, think of it like on top of itself and it's moving the same direction. That's how the way you should view it. So when things change, it has to change at this point to change at that point. It's really hard. It's so confusing. That's what the problem with time travel movies. Like you try to explain it through your fucking head. It does not fucking make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You, it's something but you should see me.
I had like the hand signals going in front of me. I'm just trying to break it down. I look like Charlie Day with the strings everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Pepe Sylvia.
Oh, it's connected, bro. Everyone wants Pepe and Sylvia. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, she looks so weird. Like she looks hot as hell with short hair, but beautiful with long hair. That's a really cool thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, like to like be that, both sexy and cute kind of thing.
So I'm curious, Jordan. Mm-hmm. You're a short hair person.
I am a short hair person. What?
Why don't you go long hair?
I mean, I do want to go to long hair, and I have had longer hair, but I don't know. I don't know why I ended up cutting. I think the first, like when I had it really long most recently, I think I cut it because I asked for the wrong thing. I made a mistake.
Oh, I think you look fire though. I really like, I can't imagine you with long hair.
Yeah. Well, and when it gets long, I kind of don't do anything with it. Like it doesn't, it kind of just sits because my hair is so thick, it just sits flat. Mm. So it doesn't look exciting. And I guess having short hair means it like has a bit more texture and it's a bit more fun. So
that could be good. If you have kids with my brother, that could be good. For like my niece or nephew, they have like such a good hairline if you have thick hair.
Fuck yeah, man. Bro, yeah, that's all the photos of like Tony Sr. when he's like the most hairy fucking guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, no. Honestly, my father, I reckon alcohol like kills hair cells or something. I reckon just like living like smoke and drink, it can't be good for your hairline. Like he still has hair. Like if I'm 62 and I have hair like that, I'll be happy. Like, it's better than nothing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't want to get greedy. It's so crazy, too, like, talking about, like, you know, genetics and blah, blah, blah. Like, Korean people, like, male, female, they look awesome. Like, they age really well. Always have thick hair. You don't really see many bald, like, Korean people. And that you do, it just sucks. It's, like, unlucky for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a rarity.
Well, you know, like, if you're really good at growing a beard, it's very likely that you have the gene that, like, dictates going bald. So,
are you worried about Quinnen?
I don't know. He's kind of rocking both, though. Hey,
he is. He's got the place gene, so he might be all right.
But then
I can't grow a beard. So
you can't grow a beard.
Yeah, you're,
my dad can grow a beard and grow nothing else, pretty much. So
I heard if you got thick hair, Jordan, and your mother has thick hair, I think it's the mother's side is with the hair gene.
It fucking better be, because I don't want my child to be bald at the age of 12. So it's pretty fucked.
No, it's the mother's side. Okay. So unless, I think. Well, hold up though, if your father's bald, it could affect something because it's the father's gene still in you, I guess. I don't know. It's really confusing.
Yeah, something about it.
Anyway, let's hope you have beautiful hair, just like young Si-young. You pretty much reveal that the house looks better. There's no burns anymore. The parents are healthy and alive. Like it's all
they
roses.
Got hair.
It's all roses, or should I say strawberries? Because everything's great. Everything's grape. Everything's strawberries right now. But yeah, it's so sad it's a really great performance. She starts crying and like with joy because like her parents are alive and they're happy and everything's perfect. I got to give it to the repeat viewing. Like I knew the result and I was like, just stop answering the phone.
Literally hang up on this bitch.
I was like, just hang up, to chillax. Another thing with the chaser too, like how fortuitous is it that the father and daughter knock on the door at that point as well.
Bro, like when she's peak rage mode, like shut the fuck up, man.
I love it. And then she has to like turn her face away and she's like big smile on her face like she can't believe how lucky she got.
So sly. You can just tell that she's she's reveling in her new idea, you know.
Well, so let's not jump too far in. So she's like ecstatic. She's all strawberries. She calls up young Sook. He's like, thank you. Like she repaired her future. It's amazing. Anyway, they're having this another good montage. They're still like sharing songs and she hides stuff in the past and the ghost of the future open up lollies and like, ew, it's gross. Yeah, it's cool. I like the time travel stuff. Like, it's just easy to do. Like, you bury something, you age it, make it look a bit older. It's great.
It's cute.
But the thing is, there's little things that are changing between the relationship. Like, at first they connected because of their, like, depressing lives, essentially. But now her life's better. Her life's the same. And she's, like, noticing things. Like, she's not there at the phone all the time. She's distracted. She can hear happiness through the phone.
Yeah.
She's getting jealous.
Yeah. And, like,
So Young
is, like, really just, like, leaving her behind kind of thing.
Well, not on purpose.
Not on purpose, either. No. And, like, that's a bit – no normal person would probably care about that, but – this is Young Sook. So
Young Sook. She just wants them both to be depressed or her to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't give a fuck about – that's exactly how she views it anyway. She goes further and further. She's late to the phone because she's been out all day. She gets to the phone and you hear this, like, fake laugh by Young Sook. She's like, oh,
bro,
are you okay?
She's like, so maniacal, and it's so good.
You should have heard it without the dub because I switched from the dub.
I was thinking that. I knew that would be different. Oh, fuck.
So much better. So recommend to anyone, if you're ever watching Korean, anything with subtitles, watch the original and just read the subtitles. Like, you might be sort of distracted from what's going on the screen, but audio is such a powerful tool, especially watching a movie. Like, that's like, I'll probably say 35% of view. It. Like, if you watch a movie mute, it wouldn't have the same effect. You need to have, like, sound. Anyway, you can just tell she's, like, planning evil shit now. And she's, like, calling her a bitch over the phone. She's, like, starting to turn against her. There's this, like, rave dust party ritual going on at the moment. She's getting dust thrown in her face.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you still,
with
you
the
still
bells
feel sorry.
And shit. It's like.
Yeah, with the bells. And she's getting slapped. Like, I don't know, if you remember Thirst, when he's whipping his own leg, she's, like, getting whipped herself.
Oh, yeah, for real.
Yeah. It just sucks. Like, her life does suck. And at this point, when you first watch the movie, it's like, oh, fuck. Like, goddamn, it sucks for Young Sook. And, like, you kind of want So Young, like, not to forget about her either. So it's kind of like you're still going for both people.
Yeah, she's going through.
But you also know deep down, like, not, I wouldn't say deep down, but subconsciously you're like, you still care more about So Young, funny enough.
I guess because she hasn't done anything, like, super bad yet.
Well, neither has Young Sook technically. She just said, you bitch, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can just tell she's a bit feisty.
Yeah.
With this rituals happening, the shaman mother... stepmother, she sees, like, a glimpse of the future and, like, things sort of change. Like, she senses something. I wonder if she's the reason why this connection over the phone's happening. Like, her.
Because she's done voodoo shit in the house.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
and, like,
people
she's
say
the one
that,
that's created this link. Yeah. And, like, maybe the house is, like, I think it's all the house. I think the house is, like, linked for 20 years. This whole, like, yeah. Yeah. So her life sucks. She, like, loves eating gummy bears and gummy shit. She's walking around. It's pretty lackadaisical. She calls back and she picked up really fast today.
Yeah, because she's just been fucking threatened.
Yeah, that's right. She knows that this is the night she dies. And, like, I think you're going to die tonight. And this changes everything. And, like, it's kind of weird. She, like, sort of created this monster. Like, she's given her access to change the future by telling her all these things, looking after her, looking out for her.
Yeah, and, like, she didn't, still feeling bad for her and stuff like that. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
she
of
didn't,
course she would.
If she didn't look on Facebook and, like, search the mother and, like, go down this chain and, oh, wait, this is the night she dies. Like, it just fucking sucks. The mother gets back and she doesn't want to do this. You can tell she's, like, saying this weird prayer thing and she's, like, really reluctant, but she, like, you know, does it anyway. She starts stabbing pillows.
Uh-oh, oh, yeah, and, like, the there. Way she does it, and then afterwards she's like, fuck, she's not there, and, like, but you can tell she's already regretting it so much kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You see that it's regretful, but she has to do it anyway because of the pain she can cause in the future. She thinks she's righteous. It's like anything that goes wrong in the world, like someone kills someone else, it's not out of, like, anger. They say it's, like, I don't know, premeditated. I don't want to – anyway, I can't talk to any of this shit. I'm talking shit.
It's okay.
It's what's fucking crazy, right? So she confronts her mother, you're going to kill me. And she's like, oh, I've got to, blah, blah, blah. And then Young Sook, like, starts laughing. She puts, like, a head between her legs, essentially. Like she's, like, animalistic in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, she's not.
She's hollering.
Unnatural. Yeah, she's unnatural. She gets the fire extinguisher out and she starts spraying. It's pretty good, though. Like, she's very menacing. The score. I, like, liken it to Hans Zimmer, like, the way it's slowly building.
Yes.
Have this, like,
that's true. I was going to comment on that. It's like, it's subtle, but it's really, really good. And I think I was reading through like other reviews and stuff like that. And no one really talks about the score.
Yeah.
No one really talks about like the color. It's because really it's underrated. This movie too, like how the
it's just it's a beautiful looking movie.
When it's like more a more positive like chain, like part of the history. It's really brilliant colors, and like when she's depressed again, you can tell. Like,
so I don't know if it's a filter and lighten or what the go is, but there's no confusion about what timeline you're in.
Yeah. Or like what's happened in this timeline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell like one, if they're in the 90s or in the things, or if it's a good future or a bad future as well. Like sometimes they're in the 2019 and you can tell straight away like, oh shit, this is not good.
Exactly.
Or normally because of the house is all fucked up. But no, the score's great and it's like, you can totally tell something bad's going to happen. So have you seen No Country for Old Men, Jordan?
I started watching it and I didn't, I didn't finish it. Like, I think I literally had like 13 minutes to go, like that.
And so you
I
watched enough. Like,
Well, does something crucial not happen in the end?
Nah, the ending's pretty good because there's like a good scene between like the lead's wife and the bad guy. And it's like really cool, like call it. If you see the movie, you'll know the ending. It's really good. But no, I want to talk about inventive weapons. So obviously it has that like cow killer, like the thing that goes into your forehead and shoots a little rod and shoots it back in. So the fire extinguisher is sort of like that as well. I like how they've got something a bit different.
I did think it was, it was an interesting choice of weapon. Especially because, like, they showed her having knives and stuff anyway. But, it's unique. And I guess, like, you'll always remember this movie for, like, the fire extinguishers.
More like, I do like the fact that it will, like, disabilitate most people.
Mm.
That's not even a word, disabilitate. Or maybe it is.
Debilitate.
Debilitate. Yeah. Anyway, so it just cuts. Like, it just jumps to the next scene. You see her stab. And blood splatter and then just cuts. Like, you know something's going to happen in the future. You just don't know what yet.
Yeah.
She says this cool thing, like, I feel like it's my birthday. This is when she's living her best life. She's, like, wearing wigs, flirting with boys.
Her new outfit. I fucking loved her new outfit. Yeah.
I knew you would like it. When you first watched this, were you, like, on her side, Jordan?
Yeah, I was like, nah, she deserves to live her best life. Let her go do it. But, like, obviously when she's, like, slinking around and she looks sinister and like she's not really reacting that badly to the fact that she just killed her mother. Like, I know her mother was a bitch, but like still sometimes like you still killed someone. When she's not reacting like that, I'm like, something's going on. Something's not right here.
When I first watched this, I watched it with Tony, the co-host, and I knew shit was going to get all fucked up. I was so fucking, like, pissed off. I was like, no. And I have a pretty active imagination. So I, like, had so many things going through my mind, like, oh, my God. I actually didn't think she had that much power. But when you watch it, you're like, holy shit. She's, like, so young, has such a, like, disadvantage. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, she can't do anything. Like, she's actually helpless. Like, she can help as long as someone else is on the phone, but that's about it. The strawberry guy's like, oh, fuck. Like, he's pretty into it because this girl's taking, like, action. She pulls him inside, have, like, a bit of flirtatious stuff. She goes somewhere else. I think she may, I don't know what she's doing.
She put on a new outfit.
He goes to the fridge. Oh, did she? Oh, nice. Yeah, so she's trying on new clothes. He goes to the fridge, sees a bag, and he's like, what the fuck's this? He knocks out of the fridge, picks it up, blood's out of the, on the floor. He's like, what the hell's going on here? And looks in the bag. There's, like, a ear, some fingers, some hair. It's all fucked
just
up.
Just the usual stuff.
He starts flipping out. Like, if he was more, like, he wasn't such a soy boy, beta cock, like, it would have been.
Oh, my God. You know,
he was just like a pussy. He was sitting on the floor going, oh, instead of getting the fuck out of there.
Bro, people, you, like, fight or flight kind of situation, it might have been his freeze, you know? Like,
yeah, fight, flight, or freeze. He froze.
We don't know.
He froze really good. At this point, though, in 2019, the Strawberry Man's cut his finger or something and, like, he bled on her shirt and they're having, like, a nice dinner or a nice lunch or a nice brunch, I should say. That's what's going on in that 2019. Anyway, she comes back with fire extinguisher. As I said, love the weapon of choice. And next minute, you don't see anything, but you see her look at her sleeve and the blood disappears.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hold up. Incorrect. Actually, my bad. What happens is she gets a phone call. She answers the phone and you hear the guy begging for his life. It's disturbing as hell. This guy's a good actor. It's a great phone acting. He's like, oh, no, please, please. And he's like, very you can feel it very sympathetically over the phone.
Yes.
Like, it was pretty crazy. But yeah, and then he looks down on his sleeve and the blood's gone.
I think it's strawberry juice, bro, which kind of makes it more like wholesome in a way.
Like the strawberry
juice, not the strawberry juice. Yeah.
So strawberry juice, is gone now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jordan, keep going.
Well, and that's a bit like, then she comes downstairs and she's like, where's the strawberry guy? And they're like, fucking who? And she's like, the strawberry guy that was just here.
The rules are consistent. The future's always changing. Like, that's what I like about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just always up in the air. This is a common theme for most good movies anyway. Like, I feel like most good movies are like detective stories because it's a fun ride. Mm. She starts becoming more like a detective, Seo Yong. Fuck, whatever fucking name is. It doesn't matter.
Seo Yong.
Yeah, this is a detective phase in the movie.
Well, that's the next bit, isn't it? Like, literally when she starts... Oh, no, is that a little bit later?
No, she just knows, like, what happened to him. So she wants to find out what happened to the Strawberry Man. Why isn't he around anymore? Blah, blah, blah. She looks at all the stuff and it's like, oh, she's been convicted.
Mm.
So the cops, so back in 1999, the cops knock at the door. They're like, have you seen the Strawberry Man? And then she's like, oh, no, I haven't. It's like, and the guy looks inside like, oh, the strawberries there. Oh, no, my mum bought them. And he's like, oh, where's your mother? And she goes, oh, she left like 2 days ago. And then she kind of got caught in a lie. He's like, wait, you said she bought the strawberries yesterday, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty crazy though, because when she enters the door, right, she's in a beanie and she's like, and the score is there as well. Like, she's listening to her music that from the future. She's pretty badass, to be honest with you. But she looks like harsh and stuff. So when the cops like question her, she like tries to soften her look. She takes the beanie off and she starts like eating strawberries, looking all innocent. Like, she's starting to play the police.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah.
And like, but she's got, you know, too many inconsistencies in her story. It's starting to pop up. So they're sus. The cops are sus on her.
Rookie move. The rookiest of rookie moves. But
at this point in 2019, she pretty much discovers that Young Sook is evil. She's got like, she's life in prison. So she technically is alive, but she's in prison for the rest of her life. This is the thing. Over the phone, she kind of let slip that she's in prison. So, like, and now the girl, she's, like, got an evil look on her face. And she's like, you bitch, you fucking bitch, you tell me what's happened, blah, 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 blah. And at this point, that's when the father knocks on the door.
Yes. That's a bit, I was like, how did it get that far? Like, I literally couldn't remember how it got from, like, A to B kind of thing. But, yeah, the dad and the young version of So Young rock up and she starts, like, crafting her next, like, step of the plan and she knows that she can, like, lure them into the house and start killing them.
But saying that too, do you rate Young Sook's performance? I know I'm saying character names, not actor names.
Mm.
But do you rate her performance when she's, like, when she hangs up the phone and pulls a cord out and she's, like, fucking smashing the bloody water and she's screaming?
Yes. How good was that? And yeah, see, that was a scene that I was like, oh, I know that for a fact that that will be better subbed. Like, if when you're so, like... into a scene like that, like, surely it's got to be better.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't bad having it dubbed, but like I think it was a good dub.
No.
But I bet it was something different.
You kind of like missed out on the performance, Jordan, to be honest with you. I feel like next time you watch this movie, like whenever you do watch it again,
yeah,
watch it without the subtitles. Oh, sorry, with the subtitles. Like, learn South Korea. That's the best way to actually watch the movie, if you can just speak the language.
Yeah.
But no, just put it on the subtitles and just watch the original dialogue, the original audio, and you'll love it.
Okay.
Like, she is so much better. And you trust me, you appreciate the performance so much better. And, like, it's, I don't know, You just trust me. So you pretty much think, okay, she's safe now. The cops get like a printout. Like you see a scene where the cop reads like, what's wrong with this girl? Like multiple disordered personalities, fucking blah, blah, blah. Like she's a psycho. And like now the audience knows this too. So now you know like, okay, she's out of bounds. Don't fucking talk to her.
Yeah, we're fucking with someone else here.
Yeah, that's right. And like a classic thriller shit, little girl and her father knocks on the door. Hey, where's your mother? And she's like, mom, mom. And she turns her face, big smile across her fucking face. You're just like, bro, that's what I'm saying. This movie is better the first time you watch it, like most movies. But when I first watched this, I was like, you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Like, I love to hate her. There's a quality with her that you like her as well. Like, at least the director captured that. You captured the likable side. So you're kind of like a little bit conflicted in a sense because you kind of hate yourself for like siding with it from the start.
Mm, mm.
But it's her charm. You couldn't really help yourself.
And wanting to see where it goes as well. Like, I think because you have like that connection between both of the characters, you're just like, oh, shit. Like, I guess who's going to be the one that prevails? But
yeah.
Yeah. So fucking crazy. That bit.
This is what's cool. So 2019 opposite to 1999 because a father and daughter having a nice drive together. The father's been like ultra charm and he's just like, oh, get out. Come. You can drive. And it's just like, it's so beautiful. It's like a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Like between the two of them. But then this is where shit goes next level. Like this is when the movie probably hits its peak, I guess, like in excitement. Because this is the thriller aspect really kicks in. So, and another thing as well with the dad, did he really have to bring like his Oscar-worthy fucking acting to this scene?
Wait, what do you mean? I mean? Oh, when he's driving and starts like fading away.
When he's driving, he's like starting to shed a tear. His eyes get all weltery. Like he knows he's gonna fucking die. His last moment with his girl. And it's just like, it's so much more impactful.
He really said, like, if this is my last bit in the movie, I'm going to fucking make it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they did a great job with the makeup and stuff too. Like you believe like both iterations of like the father, like the young and the old as well.
Yeah.
Like all it is grey fucking spray paint and like less makeup or something. That's all it would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in 1999, you see the little girl, she's there with her dad and she like clocks young Sook with the fire extinguisher, sprays him, and then you see 2019, he disappears, the car does some like flippy shit. My first watch on this, I was just like, oh, this is kind of lame, I don't like this.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would you?
Yeah, but like in my mind, I was like, okay, the father never existed, why is she in the car? In that she shouldn't be, she should like teleported somewhere else. That's like my train of thought.
Yeah,
it's weird though. Like that's, I'm gonna give the movie a pass because that's not the reality they set. It's always in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just weird. Maybe she should have teleported to where she would have been originally, but she might be linked. It'd be better if somehow she was more linked to the house. Maybe she should have been in the house, but like it should have been in the house. Really, that's where it should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who knows how the like next 20 years progress for this 8-year-old girl, and she wouldn't be in like laying down in the tunnel. That's the only thing I could really point nits at. But even good acting by the little 8-year-old girl.
Oh, she's in there. She's bringing it throughout. Bro, every time we watch like a movie for this pod, I swear to God, I'm blown away by child acting.
We've never had one bad child performance, have we?
Only in what do you call it? Silent Night, Deadly Night, because some of that shit was crazy, but they were also it was hard to work with, let's be honest.
Mm. Yeah, well, the budget and like the amount of children, like the stilted is just a way you describe the
too much risk.
Yeah, and like I guarantee it was like three takes max. Oh, good enough, let's go next. But they don't have that much film to burn. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So now she's flipping out, like she's lost her father. So she gets a phone. You get this realization, like the father's gone forever. Like you can't save the father now as well.
Yeah.
So like with time travel movies, right? You normally feel like, oh shit, like they can change it anyway. Like you kind of have the back of your mind, like, oh no, everything's up in the air. Like it doesn't, like even in Infinity War or whatever, like, oh fuck, they have the time travel stone. Like it'll be fine. Like in this, you just know, like, okay, rules establish after this 20 years, Like, if something happens there and it changes, you can't re-change. So, all the changes that happen now are all in Young-suk's benefit at the moment.
Yeah.
What happens now? She can't change it. Dad's ill forever. She goes to empty
Doesn't
house.
It go?
Oh, yeah. So, I think. Yeah. So, essentially, yeah. So, the house is in disrepair now without the father. So obviously, the father was a breadwinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
They go there. She gets her phone all connected. And then when she calls her back, Young-suk's like, geez, you finally picked up, huh? Like, she's just like
just chill. It doesn't matter.
She's just chill. She's an evil bitch. She's just like, she knows she's got the upper hand now. She's gloating as well. She's like, you can't even come here. Oh, and she goes, oh, wait, you're already here. And she looks at the 8-year-old. And then the next scene, this is like crazy imagery, like scary imagery. You have an 8-year-old girl strapped to a chair with a sheet over her head. That's horror movies. It's like at least thriller, like top end thriller shit.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing to look at. Like, holy fuck. Like, shit got real. And the poor 8-year-old girl's just crying and shit. Like,
yeah, she's anyway, got no she's idea like, about the time traveling thing and like her older self trying to protect her. She's just like upset, which is fair.
Well, it's cool. Like, Sir Young's like, she still thinks, okay, I know what happens. Your future is you're going to get arrested. Like, you're fucked. She's not bluffing. Young-suk's not bluffing. She, like, gets an iron. Also, I love how, like, she's got these weird weapons. She's got, like, this iron. She starts burning her leg. And she starts, like, feeling the burn. Like, ah. And then on her stomach, ah. And, like, it's all fucked up. The poor chick. We have this great scene. This happens a few times throughout the movie where there's two goals happening at the same time. Like, Sia Young is trying to give Young-suk information about how to clear her name. Also, she's also trying to find a way to get rid of Young-suk as well.
Yeah, and this part, I think this part is so clever. It's so clever because finally she's finding a way to, like, utilize the future to her advantage kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens once and it almost works.
I'm surprised it probably didn't. Did you see how big that explosion was?
Like, yeah, I know.
Damn.
But you wouldn't have a movie without it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so she gets rid of evidence. She, like, has, like, a victory smoke on her car. She tells her, like, the key evidence is at this, like, the dagger. Oh, what do you call it, a dagger? That's a dagger, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a dagger. Because it's like, right. Bougie.
Yeah, bougie dagger. She kind of convinces her, like, look, you need to go to the greenhouse, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really go to plan. She survives it, but she's all burnt up. Which is cool. Like, I like seeing her in pain. Like, you kind of get enjoyment out of her, like, kind of getting, like, a punch in, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of feel like, okay, at least she got, you know, some yeah, licks. Like, they're both,
she tried.
They're both burn at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But you're feeling powerless throughout these scenes. Like, you just know, like, you have your 8-year-old self tied to a chair in front of a fucking psychopath. So, pretty much, they have this, like, disagreement. Like, over the phone, like, you're a pathological liar. She reveals to her, like, you're the one that got your father killed. Like, you turned the stove back on. It'd be funny that if you actually, like, looked at the cartoon and she, like, had an attention span, like, 2 more seconds, it would tell her, like, it's not good to do that.
Yeah.
Always found that was pretty funny.
Bro, I feel like that's happened so many times. Like, you know, Peppa Pig got cancelled here because, like, there's an episode that, like, they were encouraging kids to pick up spiders and, like, spiders are your friends. But obviously here, it's a bit different. It's like, don't fucking touch the spiders. So they had to remove that episode.
Well, I don't want to take too long, but yeah, same thing with Bluey. Like, Bluey's like the Australian version.
Yeah.
And they had to change, like, one episode where, like, in Australia, the dog pees on the curtains. In America, they had to make it the dog, like, scratches the curtains.
Why?
Just because, like, they don't want to see a cartoon dog peeing on a curtain. They're just too soft, the Americans.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know, like, the kids can't handle a dog peeing.
Right.
It's fucking crazy.
That's sad.
But yeah, so they have this, like, back and forth, like, she's like, you're pathological liar, blah, blah, blah. So she has no choice but to give her the evidence. Like, and she's desperate too. She breaks the police station. She gets, like, the police journal, essentially, and she tells exactly how to clear her name. Then her current self gets transported into the best future for Young-suk. She's alive. She's living at home. There's fucking fridges everywhere. Which I find that's kind of stupid though too, with the fridges. And you see, like, the multiple fire extinguishers. Like, you think she'll get better at killing in 20 years as well.
Mm.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you would think that, but
yeah. But it's cool, though, because you kind of see, like, the Bill and Ted thing, like, the police journal, like, her photo fades and she's no longer convicted. So she got her way, Young Sook. And now we're at the climax. This is a great, great scene. Two things are going on at the same time. The mother's trying to find a daughter and she knows she's in the house, got, like, mother intuition or something. And she also got mother strength. You don't find that till later. The cops are there and she's like, okay, blah, blah. The old Young Sook leaves the house, so she gets a phone. She's waiting for the phone call. The mother calls. She's like, oh, get out of the house, please, please, get the fuck out. And then you see the cop. He gets slit in the back of the throat, like back of the neck. He gets all fucked up. It's all great scenes.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It's really suspenseful.
You know what? And the gore is pretty nice in this. Like, well, it's barely even gore, but, like, the special effects are pretty nice throughout this movie.
As I said, with my spice levels and what I could handle, in my memory, like, what was that, 3 years ago when I watched it? Probably maybe 4 years ago. I was like, fuck, this movie's so gory. Like, fuck this movie. Like, but this movie was actually quite, it's actually quite tamed, really. Like, they could have went way worse with it. They were very well, they were withdrawn so much. No, they could, we could have added a few more gore scenes, but I think they did really well.
Yeah. So I was anyway, I wanted to keep the focus on the time stuff, I guess.
That's right. Anyway, mother and daughter, they're like doing the same fight, but 20 years apart. Young Sook is chasing them both, like, up the stairs. They're kind of like mimicking each other. They both end up in the same room. And, like, I love the similarities between them, like, banging on the door, bang, 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 and they talk to each other. It's a pretty good scene. Like, I wonder if, like, it sucks you're not a mother yet, Jordan, if you ever want to be a mother. But I wonder if, like, if you are a mother, like, if you get activated by the scene, like, oh, shit.
You probably would be, like, yeah. I mean, what do you call it? Mum says she gets activated by so much. Like, she said that, like, one time she was driving and she saw, like it was, like, a group of cows crossing a road and, like, one of the calves that was part of the group of cows got, like, confused and, like, lost its mum and, like, was just standing in the middle of the road, like, crying until, like, its mum came and got it. And she said she was, that, like, made her fucked up and cry. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I do think, like, you do get activated
by crazy
stuff.
At least it's real life, not a movie or something.
I mean, I guess.
I think Tony got activated by the little girl crying.
Really? Dude.
No. Tony got activated by Silent Night, Deadly Night, remember, when the baby's crying? Sweet, sweet baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tony got activated there.
Yeah. So cool, bro.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part of the whole movie.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, so, yeah, they're in there. The daughter tells her mother, quick at the fire extinguisher, point it at the door. Like, as soon as she goes in, spray her in the face. And I like how it's like, you know, using Young Sook's tactics against her.
Mm.
But Young Sook, devious, clever, she gets a daughter. She grabs her and you can hear, like, mom, mom. And, like, her mother instincts kick in, like, fuck, I need to get to my daughter, my daughter, unlocks the door. So I was like, you okay, baby? Like, it's a pretty good plan by Young Sook. Like, she's pretty cluey. At this point, the So Young, the 2019 version, the door's busted through, a bit of a tussle. They also end up in the same place again. In 1999, the mother gets, like, sliced in the back. You think it's all over for him. Like, the director really draws this out. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
like,
what's going to happen?
That's what,
what's
like,
going to happen?
I know, what's going to happen? You know, like, in my experience, I think we're talking about this in The Chaser, you know anything's up for grabs. You know, like, maybe not, like, the killer wins entirely, but you know the mother could die, you know what I mean? Like, you know she's easily dead. But, yeah, so she kind of gets her mother strength kick in. She grabs a blade. It's pretty fucking awesome. And at this point, though, the old Young Sook is trying to kill her, which really doesn't really matter in my mind too, because even if the old Young Sook kills So Young, it wouldn't matter because as long as the 20 years before, as long as the mother overcomes her, she's going to survive anyway. Like, she'll just revive herself.
True.
You know what I mean?
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Only looking back. But at this moment, it's just really good filmmaking. I feel like, what's his name? Christopher Nolan would love this. Like, he loves time travel trippiness.
Oh, so he would be like the remaker kind of thing?
He would be a great remaker. Like, he would do it. It just, he probably might think it's a bit chintzy with the phone call shit. He likes to, like, make it more grandeur which right. I feel like was a mistake. We should talk about this too. This is technically a remake from another American movie with the same sort of premise. It's a phone call between lives and same sort of thing.
Oh, but I think I saw something probably, like that and I couldn't make sense of it.
Yeah. But no, this is, I wouldn't even waste my time. This is the superior version without even watching the original. But you have to shout at the original.
Yeah.
Mother saves the day. The girl goes over the banister and she breaks her neck, presumably, and she dies. Is the house all fucked up? Is the house all fucked up when she, gains consciousness?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I believe so.
Yeah, the house is all fucked up. Her feet's healed, though. She got, after crashing through a window at one point with her fight with old young Sook. Her feet's, healed because it never happened, technically. She runs back. This is when you kind of get, the fake out, oh, no, the mother's dead. She's not in hospital. She goes to the grave. She's all sad. She sees her father's grave. She's like, oh, I'm worse than where I'm started. But then the mother comes out all dolled up, beautiful looking.
And she's like, why are you dressed like this? Oh, my God. And it's, wholesome.
Yeah, it's all wholesome. It's beautiful.
And see, it feels like a good ending. It feels like a good ending. Here is where they should
compared to The Chaser.
It was good. We didn't need anything else.
Well, luckily on this rewatch, as soon as I finished the credits, I was like, oh, fuck, I got to start the podcast. So I fucking turn it off. I didn't even look at the post-credit sequence. So.
Well, good. So I was very lucky. You experienced it purely. You actually experienced it the way it should be, I think. Adding that shit in was just fucking dumb.
That's right. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Jordan, you can kick us off. What do you think about The Core 2020?
Yeah, well, I mean, same sentiment. A lot of this movie is really good. Acting really shines. I feel like they picked really good leading ladies for this. The color and the score of the movie are something that complements that really well. And the plot is fun. The plot is really good. It's a really good and unique thriller with that horror element. There's not many movies like this. But yeah, my main criticism is that some parts of it don't seem so realistic. And the ending, the mid-credit ending is a crock of shit. And it should be taken.
Don't worry about that.
On the DVD version, not that there is one, but on the DVD version, you would hope that that's edited out. You know how they do that?
Delete that shit. No, no, no. Yeah, it is a weak point in the movie, but it's after the post-credits, so I feel like it doesn't count.
Mid-credits,
post-credits, I don't think it counts.
Bro, have you seen Marvel fans? The mid-credits scene definitely counts for those.
Yeah, no, but that's overarching story. If there's a sequel, then yeah, then we're fucked, aren't we? But no sequel, doesn't count. Let's go to my final thoughts. Love the performance of Young Sook.
Yeah.
I'm going to say her name because I keep calling her Young Sook as in the character is the actress. I love the performance of Jung Jong So, which is the same So Young. She was amazing. She was a powerful villain, which this movie needed. If this was a weak part of the movie, it wouldn't work. She is the driving force of all suspense and action, and you love to hate her. That's my bar. If you love to hate the villain, it's a win for the movie. Die Hard with a Vengeance, you love to hate Jeremy Irons. Die Hard, Hans Gruber, you hate him. What's Die Hard 2? The guy, William Sadler. Yeah, I'm just doing Die Hard shit now.
Yeah, bro, didn't the last couple, I feel like the last podcast we did also somehow came back to Die Hard, so.
Yeah, well, maybe it's on my mind. But this movie was amazing. We'll watch it again. It wasn't as good as the first time, only because I love the twisty shit with, who's good, who's bad, and what's the worst case scenario, and it can get bad. That's the problem. I'll give it 9 out of 10. I feel like, what would you give it, Jordan?
I'm going to go with 8 out of 10. I don't know.
Right.
Once again, in frame of other movies, I don't feel I can give it a 9 just yet. It is still a really freaking good movie. Don't get me wrong, but
you won't give, I'm only picking good movies at the moment, but most movies I wouldn't rate a 9, but I reckon this movie's up there. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Jordan, which movie is better in your eyes after rewatching The Core and just watching The Chaser? What do you prefer?
Oh, yeah. No, The Core. The Core.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, no. I like The Chaser better.
The Chaser is still good, but this one's just that bit better. bit cooler.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, just before we go too far, there's a movie called Ballerina with the actress Jeon Jong-soo. It's a re-team up with Chung Hun Lee, the director of The Core. It's not rated that high on IMDb, which I like to use, but it's written, directed by him. Same actress. I'm going to have to give it a check out. I'll just give you a quick movie smoothie. Grieving the loss of a best friend she couldn't protect, an ex-bodyguard sets out to fulfill her dear friend's last wish, sweet revenge. And it's got like a bit of a Black Swan vibe to it because it's ballerinas and shooting it. But yeah, I'll watch that. Probably not covering the podcast, though, but just so I can give her another chance. She's amazing. All right, so let's go to our next segment, Oscar picks. I'm going first because obviously, if you can't tell by now who I'm giving it to,
who could
it
be?
Fucking sucked her off. Jong-soo.
You love this bitch, and yet antagonist. You can't respect her. No, I'm kidding.
I can't wait. I'm fucking dumb. I'm not good at those names. But yeah, she's amazing. If you've seen the movie, it'd be a high point to it. But also, director, give him a nod out. Him or her, we don't know yet. I think it's a male. I'll give him a shout out because he did a really good job too. Like, he's the one that connected these two stories. It's not an easy job. It's actually quite a challenge, and he did a really good job. Like, it was coherent. It's coherent. That's the best thing you can say.
Good work.
Best thing you say about a tundra of movies, coherent.
Coherent. I like it. It's good. Fuck. Now I don't know who to pick though, because you
just picked the director.
You
that's
stole
fine.
From me. Yeah, all right, the director.
Yeah, I know.
The director who all goes right, by the name of drum roll, please.
Australians. We're fucking multicultural.
Actually, we're so fucked, bro.
Chung Hung Lee.
Thank you for that. I appreciate you.
And it's probably mispronounced. I guarantee it's mispronounced because it's like the H-Y-U-N. Perfect. So we end the podcast the same way. We're free clues for the next episode. This is our fan selection, the first one of the year. Mm-hmm. It's been 4 months. Whoopsie. We normally try to do one a month. This is by, is it Adam? Oh, Eric. Is it Eric?
Oh, yeah.
No, give me a second. Yeah. I think it is Eric. Hold on.
Did you have it written down? I'm so happy that you did. That's so good of you.
I did. I'm going to read that fucking email. Oh, yeah. Sorry, it is.
What does the email say? We wrote some dumb shit in there.
Nah, it was pretty simple.
Wow, okay.
All right, so 2024 awards. This is our front runner because it's the first of the year fan pick.
Yeah.
Is it nominated by Eric Burns? He wants us to do this movie, so we'll do it. Is it Burns that he pronounced it? I'm worried.
Bruns. Bro, and it's so weird that you randomly thought it was Adam because Adam is his brother's name. But you wouldn't know that.
Wow.
How weird is that? Bro, maybe you have a phone and you've been talking to Eric this whole time.
I'm looking at a phone right now, so it's true. Anyway, he actually recommended this September last year. And I said to him, of course, man, !! So
bro, he's coming to pick me up in like 5 minutes as well. I'm gonna be able to tell him. Yeah, like, so you guess can tell what? Him Shane just announced
we're doing his
video
movie.
On the pod. Your movie.
All right, so we're doing your movie. If you want a shout out, you want a movie picked, want us to cover it, email us. It's in our description. fansonfilm@outlook.com.
We'll
happy to do any movie. We need more. We need more emails. So
yes, please.
Anything
you
want.
We
next one
we
gets it no matter what. All right.
And most, like, let's be real, most fans have picked like fucking Buller movies. So
they have. If you want to, I'm still impressed about
Buller.
Oh, no, I was impressed about Phantom of the Opera. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. So fucking
I love
sick.
That movie.
So
good.
And so something that I wouldn't watch like normally. So I fucking love it. But
me neither. You know, I never would have picked it.
In that same verse, if you've seen like the most dismally horrible shit fucking movie that you've ever seen in your life and wish you could get that time back, feel free to suggest that too. We'd love to.
And also, rate us 5 stars and share it with a friend. I hate saying that shit because
like
I never do it myself.
My dudes. Hit the bell down below. Yeah.
It's annoying, but it does actually go a long way for us. So genuinely speaking, even if you don't do it, I don't really care. Well, I do care, but fuck it. I don't give a
dial it in, Shane.
So anyway, let's go our first clue. Jordan, how about you tell me what you know about this movie, except
fuck
for the
all,
title.
Bro, I feel really bad. Eric is one of those people that he gives me lots of suggestions. And, like, honestly, like, the ones that I have bought into have been really fucking good every time. And I feel bad that I don't buy into everything that Eric suggests to me. But also, I just don't have that much time on my hands. And know very minimal about this movie other than that Eric has said it is good. And it probably is good because Eric's got, like, a valid opinion.
Eric's a great guy. number one fan, maybe after Quinnen and my brother. But anyway, let's give some clues of the movie. So we have Matthew Dillon, past his prime.
Wow.
Past his second prime as well. So if you know his second prime, it's Wild Things, Me, You and Dupree. There's like that's a little stretch there. So he had kind of had like a bit of star power. You know, this is like his Vince Vaughn brawl on Cell Block 99. Like he's kind of past his prime, but still interesting actor.
Okay.
Other clues, he plays like a serial killer. There's a bit of carpentry involved. I don't know how else you would put it. I haven't seen the movie before, but I know of the movie. I know the title and I know who's in it. So the movie is The House That Jack Built. So if you've seen it and it's good, hopefully it's good.
It'll be good.
If it's not good, I would burn Eric Bruns. Is it Bruns?
Yes. That was so good.
Greg. Yeah. He ruined my pun though. I would burn Eric Burns, but Eric Bruns. Motherfucker. But no, I'm sure it'll be a fine movie. Yeah, let's see how we go next week. All right, let's go to our second last segment. How would you end the movie? And I think this is both agree. We delete the end of the post credits.
That's just it. We're done now.
Yeah, that's it. We're done now. I think it's a very hot topic online as well. People don't like it.
Yeah, they hate the ending. People have eyes and can see. That's so good.
That's true. All right, so let's go to our last segment, deadly puns. Let's go for the deaths. We have the father dying of fire. We have the father dying of fire extinguisher and then, like, beaten to death with it. And it's pretty gnarly too, actually, like, kind of, like, describes the father's death to the daughter.
Mm.
Didn't mention that because we're trying to rush through the plot. But, no, it was fucking – it's insane. What else we got? A lot of people die. Shorey Man dies. Everyone just gets this sort of similar fate with the fire extinguisher. So let's just start with that. I know I'm good looking, and of course I leave you breathless. And then beats him to death. What do you got, Jordan?
I'm sorry.
Hard about Tony because Tony's not too bad at him.
No, yeah, Tony's got the fire.
Oh, the fire.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. What about the stab one?
What about when
she's drunk, everybody. Just give her a break.
I'm not drunk. I've had one drink. I want to do something with the dad, but you never see the dad dying kind of thing, so it's kind of hard.
You know he burns in a fire.
Yeah, but that's a bit – I was going to say I like my dad medium rare.
Oh, I'm going to say like maybe he likes this song, Feeling Hot, Hot, Hot. Where's your reaction?
That one's a good one.
Yeah. Deadly puns are hard without, you know, creative people, and we're not creative without Tony, our muse. So maybe we just end the podcast with a song by Jordan. Go, Jordan.
Like what? Like what am I supposed to
do? No, start singing something. I'm trying to sing something in Korea.
Every song I've ever thought of with fire in it, I can only think of Your Sex Is on Fire by Kings of Leon.
Yeah, so sing that song and then
you're gonna fade it out. Okay.
I will fade it out and I'll fade the real one in.
Your sex is on fire.
So what I want to know is like how your brain and your synapses connect like the father burning a fire and sex.
I don't know, bro, I'm horny.
Child.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but it's like the child thing. Like it's pretty fucking crazy.
No, like because only song I could think of with fire in it was that or Set Fire to the Rain by Adele, and I'm not gonna hit those notes. So
and I said, hey. All right, well, I'll end with that fucking butcher of a note. I'm sick, so let's just end with that.
Okay.